saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been said then about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So this was the story of the birth of Jesus. And this birth, the birth of Jesus, had the most far-reaching consequences of any birth that the world has ever known. It has literally changed the source of the course of history, I mean. And it's changed everything that has happened ever since then. The whole world acknowledges his birth all the time, whether they know it or not. Every time we use a calendar, every time we date a check or a piece of paper. The birth was foretold many times, through hundreds and hundreds of prophecies, over hundreds and even thousands of years. Over 300 prophecies spoke about the birth of the Messiah. This was actually the birth of Christianity. This is where it started, really, in its earliest stages. And since that time, there have been hundreds, thousands of millions of followers. And today, there are over 2.5 billion Christians upon the earth. This was the Word made of flesh. The Word made flesh. The birth of the Word made flesh. It was God incarnate, our Savior. God made flesh. We call it Christmas. But it's so much more. If you or I had been in charge of the entrance of God coming into the world, I'm sure we would have wanted to make a huge thing out of it, a huge display, all kinds of advertisements and closed-circuit TV and, you know, lights and cameras and action, and we'd want to be broadcasting all over the world. But God's ways are way different than our ways. He didn't choose this time. He chose that time, and he chose, instead of broadcasting it all over, he shared the message with a few shepherds on the outskirts of Bethlehem. And today I want to see what happened on that first Christmas through the eyes of those shepherds, how it came to be to them. So first off, we need to understand that those shepherds were not very highly thought of those days. You know, the Orthodox Jews, the leaders, the ones in charge of the temple, they considered the shepherds filthy and unclean because they couldn't follow all the ceremonial washings. They couldn't wash their hands all the time. They were out there in the field. They were doing their job. And so they couldn't follow the rules and the regulations that the high and mighty in the temple followed. But these same self-righteous Jews, what they did was they offered up these spotless lambs to God every day, morning and night. They offered up their sacrifices. And where did those lambs come from? Those shepherds that they thought were so dirty. The temple authorities had their own flocks to provide them with the unblemished sheep that they needed, the unblemished lambs that they needed for their sacrifices. And the shepherds who pastured those flocks on the outskirts of Bethlehem are thought to be, by many historians, the very shepherds who raised the sheep for the temple. The very ones who were visited by the angels. So those simple shepherds, they were the ones who helped to birth and raise the small lambs, the spotless lambs, that were to be sacrificed every day to appease, to be a sacrifice for the sins of Israel. And how fitting it would be that God then went to those same shepherds and let them be the first visitors of the real Lamb of God, the real spotless Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the whole world. God often seems to choose the humble and the lowly to do his work through. Just like he chose David to be his king, he was a shepherd boy. But David, we know, according to Scripture, was the apple of God's eye, a man after God's heart. So what were these shepherds doing when they were visited by the angels? They were doing their job. They were out there in the field, tending the sheep, keeping watch over their flocks at night, just doing their duty. God always seems to call on people when they're working and conscientiously doing their duty, serving him in whatever job or position that God put them in. That's the way God works. When Samuel came to anoint David king, if you remember the story, he went through all the sons who were all hanging around with dad, but none of them were the one that was going to be king. And instead, it was David, and they had to wait for David until they could find him somewhere out in the fields tending the sheep. When Moses was called, he was out taking care of the flocks of Jethro. When Gideon was called to be a warrior for God, he was threshing wheat in the winepress. When Elisha was called, when Elijah passed the mantle onto him, he was out in the field, working in the fields. Peter was fishing. Matthew was collecting taxes. God blesses those who are faithful in doing the work that they're doing unto the Lord. And it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever our job is, we do it as unto the Lord, remember? So here we have these shepherds out in the fields, and they're doing their jobs. They're watching the sheep, and it's nice time, and it's peaceful, and you know, it's just a really nice night. I imagine they're out there and they're all gathered together and they're talking about the day's events. And, you know, they're probably sitting there on the grass. They didn't have any benches out there. They're on a hill. They're overlooking the sheep. And off in the distance, they can see the little town of Bethlehem. And who knows? Maybe they're sitting around a campfire like I would have been, eating a little bit of dinner. And these guys are totally unaware of anything that's going on. They don't have a clue that the Savior of the world had just been born. They don't have a clue that heaven is going crazy all around them. They're all excited about what's going on down here on earth. They don't know that the angels are right there in front of them. They don't see anything. They're just kicking back, blade of grass in their mouth, just laughing and talking, enjoying the night. And then all of a sudden, bam, just like that, it's like all heaven breaks loose. And there's this angel in front of them that's obviously a fearful, bright white light's coming out of them, and is probably, you know, someone that looks awesome and powerful and mighty, because they're scared, they're terrified. They almost have a heart attack. They're so terrified. But the first thing the angel does, like these angels always have to do, is tell them, do not be afraid. I'm not here to hurt you. Don't be afraid. And he says to them, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This was the real thing. This wasn't one of those robocalls we get all the time or spam in our email. This was the real thing. This was a message that came from God himself, delivered by one of his angels, and he's proclaiming the greatest news that had ever been proclaimed on this earth. And what was the message? Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Your Messiah, the one you've been waiting for, he's born. He's here. They've been waiting centuries for this. As I said, there were over 300 prophecies talking about the coming of the Messiah. And so who gets the message? Not the leaders, not the priests, not the temple workers, not the Pharisees, but these lowly shepherds. Just as Jesus simply came into the world, he presented that message to some simple. Some might think the announcement was wasted on those shepherds. But you know what? It just shows that God is no respecter of persons or positions. He speaks to whoever he wants to speak to. And God knows who would do the best there. Today in Bethlehem, a Savior was born to you, the Anointed One, your Messiah, the Lord. How many people still need to hear that message today? A Savior has been born to all of us, and we all have the same chance to meet Him. 2 Corinthians 6:2 tells us, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. You know, Jesus wasn't going to be waiting, hanging around in that manger forever. The shepherds got that message, and you know what they did? They acted on it right away. So the shepherds were told something very important about this baby. Not how he looked, not was he going to grow up tall, dark, and handsome or something like that. The message was that he was going to be a Savior, their Savior. Imagine a world where they lived in, or where anyone could live in, where there's no hope, there's no purpose, there's no meaning. Our minds are sort of like, our eyes are clouded. There's just darkness. There's no Savior. And all we could look to was ourselves. And know that there was going to be certain death and no hope. Those people were a desperate, helpless, hopeless people. That was the shape of the world. Whether they all knew it or not, that was the shape of the world that God sent the Savior into. And that, in fact, was our position before we connected with the Savior ourselves. But thankfully, God had a plan. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." The greatest gift that we could ever receive was given to us by our Heavenly Father. And that was the gift of his own Son, our Savior, and all that he brings to us. Only someone who has already overcome the world can save us from the world. Only someone who has overcome the flesh can help save us from our own flesh, our own carnal human nature. Only someone who has overcome Satan can help us to overcome Satan. And only someone who has overcome death can help us to overcome death and sin. Next, we learn that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. This was the one that had been foretold. This was the one that had been prophesied. He was the duly authorized Savior, Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, ordained for that job by God Himself. There will never be another. There is no other God. There is no other Savior. There is no other Messiah. Jesus came and He finished the work. He alone. He finished the work. He did the job. He completed His job. And lastly, it says that He is Lord. The deity of Jesus is proclaimed by the angel. This message was pretty straightforward. It was plain and simple. Jesus is Lord. Your Lord, your God, has come to earth. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He's a Mighty God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. This is who has come for you. Who else could be our Savior but God in the flesh? John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." That's who the little baby was. The Word that became flesh. Who was God? So the shepherds are given a sign to prove that everything that they've been told is true. They're told if they go to Bethlehem, they will find a little baby wrapped in cloths in a manger. And suddenly, as soon as they hear that, bam, just as their hearts are starting to settle down, there's a heavenly choir of angels start singing. Imagine, you know, they're just getting used to this other angel. And all of a sudden, it's like, who knows how many thousands of angels singing. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. Could you imagine being there? In that place, a few minutes ago, you're just sitting around, having dinner, watching the sheep, and all of a sudden, you're there with all these angels, and you're basically having church right out in the middle of the fields. They're having this amazing praise and worship with all these angels leading in the choir. They get the good news about Jesus, the Savior. And they get a message about the peace and the joy and the salvation that's now coming to them. So the service lets out. And the shepherds are so excited, they can't wait. So they jump up right away. It says they get up, they take off for Bethlehem to go see the newborn king. They're not sticking around. They didn't even think about anything else. They're going. Their faith resulted in immediate action. How often does somebody get invited to the birthday, the literal birthday of the King of the universe? I think I'd have risked my job to go to that, wouldn't you? If it had been the religious leaders who got the same message, as soon as the angels left, they probably would have formed a committee to look into the matter. And they would have to figure out how can they keep their power. We saw it all played out when Jesus was older, when He was doing all the miracles. How would they have treated this little baby? You think they would have treated Him any better? Remember what Herod did? Kill all the babies? But not the shepherds. They were excited. They knew they needed a Savior. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. That's what it tells us. And they shared with Mary all that they had seen and heard. And then they went and they spread the news all over town. These guys were the first witnesses for Christ. They were like evangelists going out. They probably didn't even understand everything that was going on. I'm sure they didn't. But they knew. They knew what the angels told them. They knew that it was true. And everyone who heard it, it says in the Word, was amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Wow, what a night. First-hand accounts are very powerful. When something happens to you, and you are still just blown away by it and all excited, and you're running around telling people, you get people excited. If you're just, one time we did this, that's no big deal. But when you just, it's fresh, it's real, it's powerful, and you go out and you start sharing that, man, you get people excited. And that's what happened around town. That's why it's so important for us to share our testimony when God does things. So the shepherds eventually have to head back to work to take care of their flock. And they understood now what the message was from the angel about, I bring you good news of great joy. Now they understand about that joy. They were filled with joy, and it wasn't just good news, it was great news. It was amazing news that brought great, great joy. And God was once again in fellowship with man. Promises were fulfilled. Prophecy was fulfilled. A Savior was born to them and born to us. And that's the real meaning, the real message of Christmas. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Anointed One. His name is Jesus. Jesus really is the reason for the season. And that's a message that should fill us with great joy all the time. You know, it's truly the greatest gift we could ever receive. You know, we go out and we try to get all these great gifts and stuff, but we've already gotten the greatest gift that could ever be gotten. And this gift comes directly from God. God loved the world so much that he gave a gift, something we didn't deserve, we didn't earn it, we didn't work for it, we got it as a gift from our God. His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is our gift. He is our gift. And He's truly the gift that keeps on giving. He really does. Because as we have Christ in us through the Holy Spirit, the gift keeps giving, that love keeps coming, that joy keeps coming, that peace keeps coming in eternity with God. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's God's Christmas gift to you this season. That's God's Christmas gift to you. You're saved. We can never just let that go. We have to remember the importance of that. We have to, just like Jesus told us to remember communion. You know, like to remember Him by having communion. You know, He told us to do that because He knows we need to remember what He did for us. But we also need to remember that our Savior was born unto us. And now that Christmas is here, this Tuesday, it's a great message to share with others. That Jesus really is the reason for this season. I know a lot of people don't want to hear it, and sometimes we might be a little timid in sharing it. I'm telling you, just speak it out. Speak it out. God will bless you for it. When somebody says, well, Merry Christmas, say, Merry Christmas to you. Isn't it great that a Savior was born to us? I mean, that's what they're saying when they say Merry Christmas. They don't realize it. But that's what's going on. And so let's just let them know what they're talking about. Let's let them know the real reason. So let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you, Lord. We thank you so much. If I could have the prayer team come forward too. We thank you so much, Lord God. We thank you for this wonderful, amazing gift that you have given us in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God, our Savior, the Anointed One, the Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for not only coming and being here with us, but doing what you did, going to that cross and becoming the sacrifice for once and for all to rescue us and to give us eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each person here, Lord. I pray that we would have a wonderful Christmas, Lord God, that truly Jesus Christ would be in our hearts, that we wouldn't just get into nothing but the festivities, but we would include Jesus in those festivities, that we would include Jesus in our holy day holiday. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Okay, we do have coffee and donuts upstairs, so you're welcome to hang out. If you need prayer for anything, please come forward. God bless you. Have a great Christmas.
Peasants and all kings, and bow before the earth's redeemer. Baby Jesus, do you know you'll die for all our sins?